Welcome to the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, and I'm joined by Paul Hoynes, our Tribe beat writer, and Doug LaMaurice, our columnist here in the press box at Progressive Field on what turns out to be the last day of the season, guys. It's the end, as Hoynes so eloquently put it in our last podcast with his dulcet tones singing Jim Morrison. The season came to an end, 3-0 sweep at the hands of the Houston Astros. Just start off, what the heck did we just see? It was 11-3 in an elimination game. The Indians are something like 0-9 in their last when facing elimination in the playoffs. It was just that was ugly.
Yeah, I think it was a game where, it was a game for 5-6 innings, and then when Houston scored the three runs in the sixth inning, the white flag went up, and they knew they didn't have a chance. And then what, they scored 10 runs in the last three innings?
Right, and that was taking advantage of the Indians' bullpen. I think throughout the series, they scored half of their runs in the series. Houston did against the Indians, relievers in the seventh inning on. I think they scored 14 of their 21 runs, something like that.
Yeah, that was a huge difference coming in. Houston had the best bullpen ERA in the American League. The Indians were way down at the bottom. That was a big difference, and it showed up. Houston's relievers for the series for three games gave up one run in 9 2/3 innings. The Indians, Cody Allen gave up 6 runs in one inning, covering two appearances. I mean, you can't win that way. And, this is like the remnants of that great bullpen from 2016 and 2017 that, was really a force to be reckoned with. They're done. Allen's gone. Miller's gone. It's just they're both free agents at the end of the year. I just think for whatever reason, I don't think Miller's healthy, and I think just Cody's been overpitched for 5 years. I think it just caught up to him.
Well, we'll get into the free agency and spinning forward looking down the road. But Doug, just focusing on these three games and this just abomination of a series, I guess you'd call it if you're a Tribe fan. The top of the order, the offense really didn't acquit itself very handily.
Well, you knew once they got behind, they weren't going to come back the way they were swinging the bats. Yeah. It's like they had to get a lead and hope they could hold on. And I remember writing this in the middle of the year. It's like I feel like the Indians showed a lot of teams the way in building a bullpen and saying we're going to win with the bullpen. We're going to invest in a bullpen. We're going to make our seventh inning guy as important as our number five hitter. And now everybody does that, and the Astros do it better than anybody, and the Indians' bullpen fell apart. So, they've shown, I think, baseball, how important that is. The Astros have 6 guys in the bullpen. They left guys off their roster that the Indians would have been putting out there in the eighth inning. But you just knew they weren't going to do anything when they were behind. Michael Brantley, 2-for-10. Edwin Encarnacion, 1-for-10. Jose Ramirez, 0-for-11. I mean, nobody did anything.
Yeah.
The Astros had, I think, 16 extra base hits in this series. No, they had 14. The Astros had 14 extra base hits. The Indians had 3. Two Lindor solo homers and a Yandy Diaz double. That's it.
You can't win that way.
And so the thing, and I know we'll get into this, the thing that bothers me, a couple things bother me, and I'm not here like you guys every day, so I bring a fresh perspective, but I did cover baseball as a beat writer for 4 years back in my younger days. I hate baseball clubhouses after a loss when it's like a funeral. And it's like you're not allowed, you're supposed to act like somebody died. Nobody died, you just suck today. And so you're supposed to walk through there and like everybody has their head down. And it's like, you know what? We don't have to have our head down. You guys need to stand up and talk about why you stunk today. And almost everybody in that locker room was terrible this series. And there was a lot of you got to tip the cap. And I'm sick of tip capping. Cap tipping. What did I say? Cow tipping.
Cow tipping. Listen. Cap tipping.
Maybe the Astros are deeper than the Indians, but if we're going like 8 best players versus 8 best players, the Indians match up.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. It's just the Indians' 8 best players. Only 2 of them showed up. Lindor and Clevinger. Everybody else stunk. So I don't want people to say you've got to tip your hat to Justin Verlander. Because Justin Verlander should have been scared to pitch to Lindor and Ramirez and Encarnacion and Brantley, and he didn't have to be because they stunk. Yeah. So their stars lost to the other team's stars. This wasn't about, I don't know, I mean, I know some guys for the Astros were okay, but this wasn't ninth place hitters
right.
hitting three-run home runs to win games.
Well, and also it was the same guys repeatedly doing damage against them. It was Bregman and Springer hitting home runs,
yeah.
and Marwin Gonzalez hitting, you know, bases loaded doubles. It more than one occasion, it was the same guys in the same situations,
yeah.
repeatedly having success against. It didn't matter who was out there on the mound for the Indians. Even when Clevinger looked, you know, pretty good.
Yep.
I mean, he was beating the Astros at their own game in the first five innings of that ball game today. He was out there throwing 97, 98 up in the zone, and those guys were swinging and missing. Yeah. And then he comes out of the game, and everything falls apart.
He just ran out of – I mean, he threw too many pitches.
He threw 100 pitches in five innings.
Yeah.
But I just don't think – this is not – now, the better team won, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody would argue that. Yeah. But the better team won while the best players on the lesser team did nothing. This was not a team that should have been swept.
Right.
This was not a team that should have gone down with the top half of the order doing nothing. If the bottom half of the order does nothing, oh, well, okay, fine. This is, I mean, it's not acceptable, and it's not a funeral. It's stand up and talk about why you guys who got a lot of money, I know it's not the Yankees payroll. There's a lot of guys on there making a lot of money to make a lot of outs in the playoffs.
The top five hitters in the Indians batting order were what, 157?
Yeah.
157, 8 for 51 with just the two Lindor home runs, and that was pretty much it. 13 strikeouts. And most of those were to be fair, most of those were in Houston where
They struck out 24 times in the first two games.
The first two games.
The hardest team in the American League to strike out during the regular season. You know, did a lot of swinging and missing.
It just seemed like
three games.
Everything that they had worked to get themselves situated for the playoffs, to set themselves up to have success in the playoffs, and it seems like everything was just built on. It was like a castle built on sand. There was no foundation there to sustain them.
And I don't know. I know everybody's like working the locker room afterward. I just caught Kipnis at the end, and he said something about we were outplayed. We were out prepared. We were out coached. We were out scouted.
Yeah. Wow.
And which was just like an interesting. And so when you're talking about, yes, the Astros are a better team. They won more games. But this was too much of a difference. So something happened. And I know Tito said, no, we were prepared.
Yeah,
we were prepared.
Francona defended his preparation and the team's preparation in his postgame comments. He defended their preparation. So
and I get it, and that's why baseball, you guys do it every day. Baseball is really hard to cover because the explanation of like crap happens does apply to baseball.
Yeah.
But also, no. That's not an acceptable answer.
Well, Houston has done a good job with, they brought Presley over, Ryan Presley from the Twins, he pitched 2 1/3. You know, the Indians didn't get a hit off him, couldn't score off him. They have him throwing his breaking ball, and with the Twins, he was a power guy. And, so they do a good job in that area of, they recognize things with players and bring them in. And Verlander's, instead of two-seam fastballs, he's throwing four-seam fastballs up in the zone. That he wasn't doing that in Detroit, and now he's kind of had a rebirth. So
what you're saying is A.J. Hinch deserves more consideration for manager of the year than he's probably going to get this year.
Yeah, the guy with the best team usually doesn't win it. So
tell Alex Cora.
I think when a player get when like a guy like Kipnis goes, what was he? 0 for
the season.
He had a hit
the season.
He had a hit today, but when he gets pitched to like he got pitched to and strikes out. A bunch of times. They did a great job scouting me.
He was 1 for 9 with 6 strikeouts.
Yeah. So,
you know what? The season that he had, that's about in line with what you could have expected.
Yeah,
coming in.
You're not going to lose this series because Jason Kipnis has a bad season because he had a bad year. You lose it because your stars don't have a good year. So I want to. I just wanted the thing that I and having coming in fresh off this. They're a small market team. They're smart. They make good moves. They've overachieved. They won. They've made the playoffs three straight years. They dominate this lousy division. But someone's got to win it. Mm-hmm. Like they're doing more than you would expect the Cleveland Indians to do, and more than they have done for years. So I'm a little conflicted of like, is like good job, good effort, or is how applicable is that to the 91 win Cleveland Indians who got steamrolled by the World Series champs? Or how much should you hold them accountable to be like, I get it, great season, but this stunk.
Well, I don't think to me, they never played well the whole year.
Yeah, okay. They didn't.
You know,
they didn't play up to their potential all year long.
You know, Miller said that. You know, we really didn't. You know, it seemed like there were, and I blame that on the division. No one pushed them. You know, the Astros had the A's on their tail the whole, you know, throughout September. I mean, they had like a 2.5, you know,
I think the A's tied him at one point.
Yeah, it was a dogfight. And I think that sharpens the team, that makes you play hungrier. And these guys never got pushed. The only time they got pushed was right here, and we saw how they responded.
Well, and absent being pushed like that, you know, last year they had the 22-game winning streak.
Right.
And that sort of sharpened them. You know, they wanted to come to the park and win every game. This year they come to the park, if they lose a game, they're still up 13 games.
Yeah.
It's nothing.
I just don't think, I think the division played a role in it. But, hey, you know, it's not their fault that the four other teams are rebuilding at the same time. I mean, and, you know, I think.
So we blame Ron Gardenhire.
So you can only play the teams on your schedule, but. You know, they've got to find a way to, I don't know, it just seems to be, you know, they spent all of September, you know, trying to get this team focused, trying to get guys rested, trying to get guys healthy. You know, we're going to play this guy here. This guy's only pitching two innings. You know, everything, they're trying to get everything lined up. They bring in Donaldson, kind of a wild card, a gamble. You move two guys out of their normal positions, you know, late, August 21st, you bring them up like September 10th. And, you know, I think that's a big change. I think that sends a ripple effect to the clubhouse. It says, you know, we don't think we're good enough. Mm-hmm. This is why we're making this move. And I don't know if that was a reflection of what Ramirez was, how he played going down the stretch. But, you know, I would be willing to bet he wasn't a happy guy going to second base.
Donaldson 1-for-9 with 3 strikeouts in the series. You know, his last at bat, he got a base hit. That was it. You can't really hang all that on Donaldson. No. He missed 3 months of the season.
Yeah, this was
spring training for him. So,
It's weird because Ramirez obviously has been terrible 2 straight playoffs. But last year he was good in September.
Yeah.
And then he was terrible in the playoffs. Right. Last year he was like terrible in August, good in September, terrible in the playoffs. This year he was terrible in August, terrible in September, terrible in the playoffs. So I don't know. It's like you're trying to find answers with this guy.
Right. And I don't know if he's hurt.
He said he's healthy.
Yeah.
That's
the kind of, you know, in baseball, that when they say they're healthy, 3 weeks later they're having surgery on something. I don't think that's the case with Jose, but I just, he did not look like the same guy. He looked out of gas. He just didn't look as confident at the plate. I mean, talking to people, they pitchers just changed their whole approach against them. They weren't throwing them fastballs anymore.
Once there was blood in the water,
he got impatient.
Yeah.
I mean, you just think about, I mean, again, Ramirez is basically your third baseman the whole year. What he did for the Indians and what the Astros third baseman did for them.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that one guy swings a series, but if you traded Jose Ramirez for Alex Bregman in this series,
oh wow,
I don't think it's a sweep.
No.
You know, and that's what I was trying to ask Jose after the game, and you can read my column on Cleveland.com. The idea of, you know what, I know you can't win a series by yourself, but come on, man, when you're a star, they need you.
Yeah.
Alex Bregman, who is not Jose Ramirez during the regular season. He's very good. He's not Jose Ramirez, who is third in the league in WAR the past 2 years combined.
Right.
He's not that. He comes out and he hits a ball 2 inches from a home run in his first at-bat today. They hit him. I think in his later at-bat, I said, thank God they hit him. He would have hit another. He would have hit a home run.
Right.
He's so scary. Nobody was scared of Jose Ramirez in this series. You said, Paul, they knew exactly what to do to him.
Yeah.
They look forward to the opportunity to pitch to him as opposed to being
being
frightened.
And they, you know, they've been scouting him for like 3 weeks, 4 weeks. I mean, they know what's going on. And the thing is, Doug, you know, Ramirez was the starting third baseman in the American League at the All-Star game. And the MVP of the All-Star game was Bregman. So, I mean, you know, it would have been a great matchup, I think, if Jose Ramirez had been Jose Ramirez in the second half.
Yeah.
You know, that would have been a great matchup to watch in this series, but that wasn't the case.
Well, now I guess we sort of throw the question out there about the Indians and where they're situated and what the window for winning is and what their championship sort of expectations can be moving forward. They're still in the Central. They're still in a division where, you know, four other teams are going to be, you know, rebuilding in Minnesota just fired Paul Molitor, just parted ways with Paul Molitor. There's an overwhelming likelihood that they will be right back here again next year, the, you know, third out of three division winners in terms of record if things continue in that trend. Zombie walking into the playoffs and you know, probably a candidate for getting swept again.
Well, this was Dick Jacobs' gift to the Indians from the grave. You know, John Hart and Danny O'Dowd convinced him whenever they went to three divisions that to leave to AL East and go to the AL Central. And, you know, he fought it because, you know, the Yankees in Boston, those were big draws. They made money coming in here more than, you know, twice a year. But they convinced him to go to the AL Central, a newly formed league, and they've dominated it. I mean, that's when this whole thing, and that's when the 90s, when all that started. And so that's the gift that keeps on giving, being in the AL Central. But, you know, you've got to... You got to play better. I mean, you can't, this is a team that should win 100, almost 100 games every year if you're playing in this division, because I don't think they're going to lose a lot of talent this year, this winter. You know, if Allen doesn't come back and Miller doesn't come back and Brantley, you know, Melky Cabrera and Oliver Perez, you know, Lonnie Chisenhall. I mean, those are Josh Tomlin, core guys that have been on the club a long time, but the whole rotation is back. You've got Ramirez and Lindor back. You've got your catchers back. You know, you got Yandy Diaz, who looks like he's emerging. Maybe he DHs. Encarnacion will be back for the final year. Your outfield is, you know, like, I don't know what you're going to have to rebuild your outfield and the bullpen.
It's really, I think. They have four starting pitchers who a lot of teams don't have one guy
right.
as good as their top four. And having covered the Phillies for 4 years when Terry Francona was their major league manager for the first time, I just remember being in spring training, and they're looking for their ace. Mm-hmm. They're pulling guys off the scrap heap to find a guy to start opening day. And you really realize when the team that you like or cover doesn't have starting pitching, you really realize how important starting pitching is. I don't think any Indians fan takes it for granted. Hmm. But sometimes it's like, oh, well, yeah, well, we got these four guys. It's like having a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Right.
If you don't have one, all you think about every day, all day, is, oh, my God, we have to get a quarterback. When you have those four guys in the rotation, they're going to give you a chance. But I wrote a thing a couple weeks ago. The history of great rotations is... it's not enough in the postseason.
Right.
They get hit. You're playing good teams. They're not going to throw shutouts. You need a couple guys to swing the bat. So it feels like, I think this rotation, and even when Kluber's gone or if he gets older, that if you keep Bauer and Carrasco and Clevenger
and now
around,
you got Bieber coming up. You know,
they
you
can
like
keep
him in.
You getting to the playoffs on that rotation, but you're not going to win a World Series unless in the playoffs you give that rotation some help.
Imagine the Browns if they had so many quarterbacks that could start for them that they were keeping guys down and not inviting guys to spring training because they were afraid to start the clock on them, which is what happened with Bieber this year.
Yeah.
You know, Chernoff and Antonetti wouldn't let him go to spring training because once Francona saw him, he was going to take him on the major league roster, and then you're going to start the clock and start losing years on him. We haven't even talked about, you know, the future in terms of Lindor and you know, Bauer. Bauer's going to be second year arbitration eligible. Lindor, the first time he sits down at an arbitration meeting, it's somebody's going to be falling off their chair with the numbers that are going to be tossed out there. Chris Bryant set the record for first year arbitration award. It was $10.85 million, I believe, this year, and he had an MVP.
Yeah.
Lindor will more than likely surpass that.
I would think. I mean, he's probably got better numbers than Bryant at this point in his career. I mean, it's hard to imagine, you know, I mean, Bryant was, he was the MVP when he was a rookie, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's not, Lindor isn't a rookie. This is his third year, and he's done this pretty much for 2.5 years at least.
So there are serious financial questions about this team and their ability to go out and acquire the talent to go around, to put around that rotation. In 95 and 97, what was the rallying cry? We've got, the Indians have the offense. They have the players to hang with any team. They, you know, offensively, they didn't have the pitching. They never had the pitching in the glory days of the 90s. Now they have the pitching, mm-hmm. and you've got the pieces to sort of make the offense go, but you're not going to be able to put a bat out there in the outfield with the way that this payroll is going to be structured next year.
I think there's still a lot of money coming off the payroll, too. You know, what?
Well, you got to get rid of it.
Brantley was making 12, 13.
It's like a $12 million option. Yeah. But you're going to make him a qualifying offer so that you can get a draft pick when he signs somewhere else. But you've got $13 million to Kipnis. That needs to be – you're going to lose a quality – prospect, because you're going to have to attach somebody like, it would have been a great, Julian Merriweather would have been a great prospect to attach to a Jason Kipnis to make him attractive in a trade so that a team like the Mets would want to take on $13 million in salary. So that comes off your books, and you can, you know, that $13 million could go to Lindor or, you know, Bauer.
Right.
Bauer's going to be $10 million at least this year.
Yeah, well, Bauer, yeah, what did he make?
He made five point three something.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
He's going to at least double his.
It is. It's so interesting. I think, you know, if someone like me, all I'm thinking about is Lindor's free agency. You got to win before Lindor's free agency. But already, you've lost the window because he's not going anywhere.
No.
But he's cutting into your payroll. He's going to start costing so much more that there really was this window here of some of these great guys who are just so underpaid. They can't. The reason they could, tell me if I'm wrong, the reason they could go get Encarnacion is because Lindor was for free.
Right.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. Well, now they're getting at the point, of course you're happy to pay Lindor, but you can't go make another Encarnacion move. Yeah.
Well,
right?
And the extension, that's why the extension that they signed Ramirez to is so team friendly. He's making pennies on what he should be making based on his performance,
based on his regular season stats, not his postseason stats.
We'll see.
But Lindor, it would make sense to try and sit down and throw as much at him as you. If he's going to get,
he already turned down a $100 million extension offer. That was 2 years ago.
Because at the time, it made no sense for him to sign that.
Right.
It made zero sense for him to sign that.
So I
knowing that he was going to be able to come out here and do something like that.
I just think he's
betting
got bigger plans. I think this guy's already thinking, or him or his agent are already looking past Cleveland. When he gets a chance, he's gone.
There's
just no way they can afford to keep him.
You've got New Balance, when you've got a bunch of other endorsements that you can sort of, you know, live your lifestyle, be a baller and live your lifestyle, making your $500,000 league minimum contract, what's the rush? As long as you're doing what he's doing, your payday is coming. You know your payday is coming, and if you're just patient,
it's 24 such a fine line, though. I mean, I don't blame Ramirez for taking that money.
No, not where he comes from.
And I mean, Lindor could break his leg on a double play any day. And you know, look at Grady Sizemore, you look at Brantley, all those guys signed multi-year deals. They got a lot of heat for it. Carrasco even, but look at they got hurt. I mean, Brantley missed 2 years. He's still getting paid. You know, Sizemore's broke down completely. He was still getting paid. Carrasco, you know, the year after the spring after he has the hearts. I mean he signs a deal, the multi-year deal. He has to have heart surgery. You know, not a huge thing, but, you know, so, I mean, You know, that's the thing that I, you know, you really, if you've really got to have a brave agent, you know, Lindor, you've got to have a guy that, it's like having the corner man, you know, the brave corner man keeps sending the guy out in a 15-round fight, you know, you're fine, and keeps pushing him out there, and it's a fine balance.
So I think, I mean, it begs the question, Ned, and this is what I feel like we haven't seen yet. You know, they make the World Series in 2016 after all these injuries. Kluber carries them. Kluber's pitching every day. And now the last 2 years, really they've been, I know Kluber wasn't himself in the postseason last year, but like the guys were out there, right? Bauer wasn't himself. He would have been starting a game, but at least they got him back. I feel like you're still waiting, and this is the question to me, before Lindor leaves. If you got a postseason where the four starters were all good, at the same time, they all pitched well, and Lindor hit, and Ramirez hit, and Encarnacion hit. Is that enough? Like, I don't care. Let the guy, let 6 through 9 strike out every at bat. Like, maybe the bullpen's not great. Brad Hand, let Brad Hand come in and save every game. Like, is that, because that, like, we haven't seen that. We haven't seen, I thought coming into this postseason, well, if they didn't get a big bat or anything in a trade, you're just waiting for the idea. Last year they got kicked out with Lindor and Ramirez doing nothing. Yeah. If they are themselves, if they are the June, July version of themselves, my God, maybe that's enough. And then Lindor was decent and Ramirez did nothing. So we still, it's like you haven't seen this group of Indians all be at their healthiest and at their best in the playoffs. And man, I just wonder if that might be enough to get it done, because their best guys are really good.
Yeah. You have to have, like, I think you have to have a guy like Marvin Gonzalez. You have to have a guy that, you know, in a good lineup, you got to have a guy that you forget about, you know, because there's so much concentration on guys like Lindor and Kipnis. Everybody, you know, they have scouting reports up to their neck on them. They know how to pitch him. They're going to neutralize him. But you have to have a guy at the bottom of the order, in the middle of the order, there, some guy that you know, just kind of it links the two halves of the lineup. And I think Gonzalez was the key to this series. What did he hit?
He was really good. I think he hit like 500, right? Yeah, he hit 538 with he had 7 hits, 2 doubles, 5 RBIs.
And he kills the Indians. I mean, he has a history against the Indians, but that's not a guy that, you know, that I don't think you're going to, that kind of jumps out at you when you go over the Houston lineup.
No, it's Bregman and Springer, who was the World Series MVP and got 10 postseason home runs. And
again, it's like Correa was terrible.
Yeah, and he was
1 for 10.
He's been terrible all season. Yeah. Correa's been terrible all season.
But they've overcome it.
Yeah.
They had other guys do, you know, Justin Verlander helped you overcome that. When Alex Bregman's hitting everything off the wall, that helped you overcome it.
Right.
Well, so that's where we are right now. We're sitting in the press box at Progressive Field. The dark of night has fallen over the ballpark and on the Indian season. There is no tomorrow for the tribe. They come and clean out their lockers, and they go home. And the next time we see them is in Goodyear, Arizona, and things are going to look dramatically different for this team. I think, you know, like you said, Josh Tomlin, who's a fixture in this organization. I don't know what the chances are he comes back, and you know, Michael Brantley, who's been here for almost 10 years. That's a huge bat and a guy who carried you this season. So
can I jump in with one question just because I'm curious? If you're guessing right now, are next year's opening day outfielders, all three starting outfielders, are they all on the roster or in the organization right now?
I don't think so, no. I mean,
I think two of the three are.
Maybe Greg Allen, who else?
Leonis Martin, if he's healthy.
Yeah, if he's healthy. If Martin is healthy.
They're pot committed to him. I mean, they traded for him, and they've got 2 years on him. Good, bad, or indifferent, he's going to be out there at some point next year.
Brandon Barnes, maybe a fourth guy. The guy, he kind of came up in September.
Wow.
I don't know. I mean,
Tyler Naquin is in the organization.
Yeah, Naquin.
Naquin probably gets right field, and, Greg Allen probably gets center field, but I don't know where your offense is going to come from.
Yeah, I don't know if those are guys, those are starters. Those are more all like fourth outfielders.
Yeah, they have four fourth outfielders and no starters. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's interesting. I don't know. And you think if you had to guess opening day next year, Kipnis is at second and Ramirez is at third? God. And Yandy's on the DH, maybe?
I think there's going to be a big effort to trade Kipnis.
If he's on the roster at all, then...
They tried to trade him last year and they didn't get it done. But I think with 1 year less on his contract, I think he's probably a little more attractive. And the way he finished the season, the second half was decent. You know, I think they'll try to trade him again.
I think they need to attach a quality prospect. Yeah, I mean, it's going to hurt to trade him. It's not going to be.
And then, like you were saying, maybe you put Yandy at third base and go with Ramirez at second and see what happens.
Yeah. Well.
But your third baseman has to hit more than one home run in the big leagues. Yeah. And that's what Yandy's got, and that's a concern.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he's a bench guy, you know, right-handed hitter. But I think you got to give him a shot. You know, you got to give him a chance.
You got to throw him out there and let him play at least into, you know, June.
He's going to turn in, maybe he turns into Jesus Aguilar, you know, a guy you never gave a chance to. And he's in the postseason right now for the Brewers, you know, crazy.
The Brewers are still in the postseason and the Indians are not. So that's going to wrap it up here from Progressive Field. Thanks a lot, Doug, for jumping in.
Sorry I shouted so much. I shout on podcasts. I get excited.
Yeah, he's talking with his hands. You can't see it on a podcast. It's crazy. Hoynesy, we're going to keep doing these podcasts throughout the off season and whenever news happens. So
good.
We'll have awards season coming up after the World Series ends and then winter meetings and free agency and the fun of all that. But hey, next year we get the All-Star game, guys.
Oh, God.
Hey.
All right.
That's a lot of work.
Holy cow.
It'll be a fun 3 days or 4 days.
Hoynesy's going to be hosting a bacchanalia of old-time sports reporters at the at all of his haunts around town. All right. Guys, again, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again later on the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast.